الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. Allah in His great, great, great mercy has blessed us with this very, very great and honorable month of Ramadan. There are various aspects of this month. One aspect is it's a month of earning for the Akhirat. Like a businessman looks forward to December, end of the month, then it's his earning period. And he doesn't feel sad that I'm going to be working so hard. I won't be having a proper lunch also. I'll be on my toes, so busy I'll be, but he gets more happier. Like that we should also feel. And that will come if we have that yaqeen of akhirah and the reward of amal. And then it will become easy for us. Like a businessman has got full yaqeen that the profit that he's going to make, he enjoys it so much. Like that if we can have yaqeen on our amal. Hazrat Maulana Shah Abrar al-Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali gave a very beautiful example to make us understand what these great earnings are for the month of Ramadan. He says, if the government of a country, the Reserve Bank, have to issue money printing machines to all the Muslims in that country, and that machine will only start printing when the moon for Ramadan is sighted. And it will stop printing when the moon for Eid is sighted. And you can put it whatever you want to, 200 rand notes in our country, 100, 50, 20, 10. Naturally, nobody will choose any other one but 200. And it's 100% legal tender and no questions asked about anything and no tax on it or anything. If it is like that, every person will try and get not one but two, three machines. And nobody will make excuses, I got diabetes, doctor put me off, I can't keep rosas, I can't do anything. The old ladies, small children will get machine for everyone. And it is not an automatic machine, it's a manual, you have to turn the wheel. Nobody will get tired whole month also. From morning till night, no time for sleep also. No time for savory samosas and bhajiyas also. Everyone will be turning, and at high speed they will be turning. Because this is an opportunity. So really, what are 200 rand notes or what are $1,000 notes compared to what one sawab is? And this is that month in which Allah tabaraka ta'ala makes a nafil equal to a farad. And the farad, Allah multiplies it by 70. And just to get an understanding, what this value is, Shah Mujaddid Al-Faisani Rahmatullah Ali has written that your whole life's nafil cannot equal to one faraz. Your whole life's tahajjud cannot equal to one faraz of fajr namaz. Two rakats of fajr, the shortest fajr, two rakats, the whole life's nafil, your tahajjud, your ishraq, your chasht, your awabin. And we know what rewards there are for chasht and for ishraq and awabin. All that sawab cannot equal the one faraz of fajr. And in this month, that faraz becomes 70 faraz. And every nafil becomes a faraz. So what a month of earning. In that light, there is one source of gaining this great earnings on the day of Jumu'ah. If we respect the day of Jumu'ah and observe the adab of Jumu'ah, we can get so much reward. And this year we are blessed with 5 Jumu'ahs in this Ramadan, inshallah. So it comes in one hadith, in which appears in 6 of the kitabs of the authentic hadith, Bukhari Sharif, Muslim Sharif, Tirmizi, Abu Dawud, Ibn Majah and Nasai. This hadith comes in 4 of these 6 kitabs, which shows how authentic the hadith is. And a great scholar of hadith and a great muhakkik researcher, Mullah Ali Qari Rahmatullah Ali, says the most amount of sawab that is mentioned for amal is in this hadith. So the hadith is absolutely authentic also. It's not a weak hadith, though a weak hadith is also totally sufficient for sawab. And the weak hadith will not be used to prove a masala. But for fazail, for sawab, there is no problem whatsoever. But this hadith is a strong hadith. And it is the most sawab that are mentioned are in this hadith. And to little background of the day of Jumu'ah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens and the earth, at that time already Allah decreed that Jumu'ah is Sayyidul Ayyam, the king of all the days of the week. The king of the days of the week is Jumu'ah. When every Nabi came, Allah offered them Jumu'ah as the special day of ibadat. Allah offered it to Musa alayhi salam, but his people, Bani Israel, they were very obstinate people, stubborn people. They demanded and insisted, we want Saturday. Allah gave them Saturday. Until today, the Jews observe the Saturday as Sabbath, as Yom Sabt, they observe as their big day. When the Christians came, they were also the offspring of the Bani Israel, the same nation. They were also very obstinate. So they demanded Sunday. Allah gave them Sunday. Until today, Christians observe Sunday as the great day of worship, as the big day. When Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam came, and Allah guided Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to the best in everything, he readily accepted Jumu'ah as the big day. So we are blessed with this big day of Jumu'ah. Hazrat Maulana Sayyid Badri Alim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was a very great alim of India, but he made hijrat to Medina Sharif, stayed there and passed away there. And a few times they opened his qabr, they found his body to be 100% intact. Even his kafan, 100% intact. And also, he, like Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Zakariya Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, they were given this great honor that they are buried amongst the Aswaji Mutahharat, the mothers of the Ummah, the wives of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Where they are buried, in that area they are buried. How fortunate are they to in Medina Sharif, in Jannatul Baqi, and right there where the Ummahatul Mu'mineen are buried. Anyway, he told one Haji Sahib of South Africa that you people normally in South Africa, and this we found, and surprisingly, a practice which seems to be universal, that on Fridays you must have your dar chawal, your dal and rice. So Maulana said, have your dal and rice whenever you want to. But on a Friday, cook the best meal of the week. And how beautifully he illustrated the importance of Jumu'ah, that everyone likes food. And the day you're going to get your best food, automatically you look forward to that day. Then he told them, you give your children a proper bath of the week on a Saturday night, Sunday morning, and you put on the best clothes for them for Sunday. He says, give them the proper bath of the week for a Jumu'ah, Thursday night, Friday morning, and give them the best clothes according to Sharia to wear on the day of Jumu'ah. Everyone likes nice clothes. The day you're going to wear your best clothes, automatically you look forward to that day. And then he said, if you are giving your children pocket money, spending money, give them a little extra on Friday. And if you are not giving them, give them something on Friday. Everyone likes money also. And the day you're going to get your money, you look forward to that day. Give them their weekly allowance also on Friday. So they look forward to Friday. So in this way, he highlighted the importance of the day of Jumu'ah. There was a businessman, yeah, in the northwest province, Porchestrum, and he was a very big businessman, cash and carry of appliances his business was. Now he has passed away. Allah grant all our marhumin jannat. He went for a business trip in the days of apartheid with a white Afrikaner man to the Far East. They stayed together in a hotel room. On a Sunday they were invited for a barbecue, a braai. So the Muslim man told him, come, we are invited. He said, sorry, I can't come. It's my big day, my day of my Bible, my church day. And he didn't go and he prayed his Bible. He read his Bible. In the evening, they were invited again. Again, he told him, he said, sorry, I can't come. It's my big day, church day. I have to read my Bible. So the Muslim took a good inspiration from this, from a bad source and a wrong source, but he took a good inspiration. And from here also we should learn lessons. Many of us say we don't have opportunities in life. When we were small, my parents didn't let me become a Hafiz Alim, or people misguided me. Never make those excuses. Your success isn't with other people, it is within yourself. And take the lesson of a cow. What qualifications it Allah give a cow? Chewing the whole day, but it gives you that wonderful milk with which you make your ice creams, with which you make your barfi, with which you make so many other things. And it's just all it could, eating dry grass and chewing it all the time. So even if we don't have opportunities, if you make effort, Allah has given everyone that capability. And the greatest effort we can do is to find Allah and to prepare for akhirat. Not some university degree, not some big business enterprise. Those are very insignificant, small things. The real thing is deen and akhirat, and everyone has that capability. So that businessman, when he came back, he also observed Jummah. He said, the Sun Christian religion has been changed. And even if it wasn't changed, it's cancelled. Now is the religion of Islam. And when he can still observe his religion and not at home when he's on a safar, then also he observes it. Me as a Muslim at home and I don't observe my deen. So he observed his, he should never open his shop till Jummah. I, alhamdulillah, met him personally and asked him to relate this to me. And he mentioned the whole incident to me. So Jummah is a very great and blessed day which Allah Ta'ala has given us. This hadith which I mentioned of the great virtues, that a person who does six things on the day of Jummah, then Allah Ta'ala will give that person the reward of one continuous year's ibadah. Of reading namaz, making tilawat, zikr, dua, etc. Continuous. Who can make ibadat? Today, half an hour we get tired. An hour is far too much for us today. For the whole year, continuously. If you just observe six simple things for the day of Jummah. And not only the ibadat, physical ibadat, but one continuous year's roza sawab also. Roza, in any case, you can't keep on the two Eid days, 3 days after Bakri Eid. But yeah, on those days also, you will get the sawab, the whole year's roza sawab. Just if we observe six basic things. What are those six things? The first thing is to make ghusl and wear clean clothes. And this I'm mentioning because the greatest reward, and we do it in Ramadan, the rewards of Jummah are multiplied by 70. And in Ramadan, it's multiplied by another 70 again. So it's mind-boggling what rewards we get. If we can just apply ourselves, and especially brothers who have come for itikaf, who have come to Islam, we have freed our minds, we have freed our time, we have freed everything, so it will be easy for us. And if we implement it in Ramadan, inshallah, the whole year, and whole life we can carry on and we can keep on earning. And the starting point was in Ramzan. What a Mubarak thing. Many things that we start, we remember where we started it, when we started it. This is in the month of Ramadan. Yeah, in the Khanqa. What a Mubarak place, what a Mubarak time. So to wear, to bath and wear clean clothes. That alhamdulillah every Muslim does. Those who are in itikaf should may find out the masala of going to bath, etc. For Jummah. But for the fazilat is for that person who baths and wear clean clothes. The second is to come walking to the masjid, which we all do. Even if we come from a distance, with today in our times, it will be counted. If we come by car, it will be counted as walking. Because it's difficult, if not practical, to walk from so far. However, people who are nearby should try and come walking for the day of Jummah. And this really refers to those people who are like kings and lords and used to be carried into the masjid to show they are big people. Today nobody comes like that to the masjid. If you're an invalid, you come on a wheelchair, inshallah, you will also get that sawab. And for every turn of the wheel, you'll get the sawab of 2 steps at least, inshallah. So we should try and come walking. And advisable park your car a little far on the Jummah especially. For every namaz, then come, take more steps. Instead of hogging the parking right at the entrance, leave that for invalids, for old people, etc. And if we park a little bit far and take a few more steps, it's healthy also for us. And also the rewards are much more greater to go walking to the masjid. The third is to go as early as possible. And early as possible is when the second adhan takes place. Now that is quite late already. But when the second azan takes place and there is place in the masjid proper, sir can go into the masjid. Because when the second azan takes place, then at that time the malaika who are at the doors and they are taking roll call, writing everyone's name who comes for Jummah. The one who comes the most earliest gets the greatest reward. The last one gets the smallest reward. But when the imam stands up and he comes for his khutbah and the adhan starts, the second adhan, they close their kifajista. Now if we were out of the masjid when there was place, if there wasn't place, inshallah, with the order will be that we will be also counted amongst the people who are in the masjid. But if there was place, we should come into the masjid. And they close their books and they also listen to the khutbah after that. The fourth point, and this is where many of us lose the sawab. Just one point that we did not observe, and such great sawab we lose. And what is the fourth point? To sit as close as possible to, close as possible to the imam. And that is the fourth point. Many of us, we come early, but we sit at the back, we sit on the sides, there is place between us and the serfs in front, and we are losing out that sawab. The example of this is like a person who has imported some goods and is going to sell it at 2,000% profit, 3,000% profit, and his customers are ready. Those goods are going to go like hot cakes, but the goods are blocked in the customs just because he didn't sign some document, or he didn't put his ID number on the document, or he did not date it. One point and now his goods are blocked. Yeah, also this one point, and we block all that sawabs from Allah Ta'ala. So always try for every namaz. That on one occasion, we were in Lanesia on a weekday, when musallis are few, it's a residential area, people are all gone to the shops, to the big business places, very few people. So we went for namaz in Masjid Abrar in Lands. And we also did not know. We learn, and what we learn, we pass on to our brothers. We were making our sunnah scattered in the masjid. Somebody this side, somebody that side. When Maulana Abrarul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali walked in, and we went to meet him. So when he walked in, he walked to the place directly behind the imam. And on his way, he announced loudly. He says, "Pehli saf mein jagah hote hue, kahin aur namaz parna apna zabardast nuksan karna hai." That when there is place in the first saf to make namaz anywhere else, you are doing a great loss to yourself, a great harm to yourself. As an example to understand that, you got 20 million rand to invest, and you went and buy a farm in the Karoo in the desert, where no, you're not going to get any tenants, nothing is going to grow there. You wasted your money. You should invest the 20 million in the city center, where what returns you will get on that. So we investing our time. And if we come to the first surf, in the first surf, yeah, there are parking meters also. The dunya's parking meters, you have to feed the parking meter. This parking meter feeds us, gives us the rewards. And the dunya's parking meters, you can see them. These parking meters you can't see. But whoever comes to the first surf, and the best place is directly behind the imam, and then one to the right, one to the left, until the first surf is full. Then you go to the second surf. Only then start the second surf. So a person who comes in the first surf, the reward is so great that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, had people known the reward, and by keeping it ambiguous, it shows it's a very big reward. That had the people known the reward of the first surf, swords would come out in the masjid to fight. Muslims are really a peace-loving nation. There is all propaganda that Muslims are a violent nation, that they just terrorists, they only want to see blood. That is total propaganda. And even non-Muslims testify to this. They say what we read in the media is something else. But the Muslims that we know they are so peace-loving. They're so humble people. So Muslims are like that. But why will swords come out? In our day, AK-47s will come out. Everyone will fight for his place in the first term. But we don't know the reward. Our relationship with deen is weak. Therefore, we don't pay a heed to it. So we should try and come always. The fourth point, sit as close as possible to the imam. The fifth point is listen attentively. To whatever is being said, listen attentively. Normally we don't make our qailula, we are too busy, we haven't got time. But for Juma, then we take our 40 wings and we make our qailula. And the Imam Sahib, Maulana is saying that when you go on safar, on a journey, then namaz is half, zuhar, asr, isha. But we were half sleepy. So we heard Maulana said that when you go on safar on a journey, then namaz is maaf. Namaz, Maulana didn't say namaz is maaf. He said namaz is half. Similarly, Maulana say viyaj, interest is haram. But now we don't like to hear that also. So we heard that Maulana said piyaj, onions are haram. And women folk usually want onions when the prices are 100 rand a bag. Then they want it now immediately. So it suits us fine. We tell them, Maulana said, no more onions. You can't make wagar anymore. And Maulana said, onions are haram. Maulana didn't say onions are haram. He said, Maulana said, interest is haram. But that we don't want to listen. So we should listen attentively. And then the sixth point is, don't do anything useless. Like in the days of before, there used to be pebbles in the masjid. And people got funny habits, wasting time. You got your desk pad, your calendar on your desk. The first of the month, it's clean. What a clean pad it is. One phone call comes and they put you on hold and you start scribbling. The whole pad is full already. It's full already. There is no place to write down a phone number that you had to remember, an appointment that you had to remember. You filled it up. All wasting, just writing or drawing designs and making pictures like small children. One person went to a buzur to Allah Wala for his islah. So he was sitting, he had a walking stick with him and this dhela, this mud clods to make istinja. Today we use tissue paper. But previously, mud plots, so they were lying there. So he started breaking them, all, one after the other. So the buzur to make his islah, to correct him, told his khadim that other boxes we got of dhelas also, ready we got, bring it, this man enjoys breaking it. Then he understood, and he stopped. So this habit of ours to play around with the watch every time, put every now and then putting the glasses right, putting the topi right, no, you don't do anything useless. And what is called la yani, in which there is no benefit of deen, nor of dunya. No, when you're just doing things in which there is no benefit. So abstain and refrain from that. These six amals, and for every step you take coming to the masjid, not that only one, but for every step, if you take 500 steps, really if it's in us, we will try and take 1,000 steps. More steps we will take according to weather conditions, security conditions, health condition. How much we can, we'll try and take more steps coming to the masjid. So what are the 6 points? To bath and put on clean clothes. To come walking to the masjid. To try and come as early as possible. To sit as close as possible to the imam. To listen attentively and not to do anything useless. Nothing difficult in there. You don't have to move any mountain from its place. You don't have to chop up a whole forest. Nothing. So easy. And what great rewards. Deen, from there also learn another principle. To earn the real rewards of deen and which are everlasting. They are very easy. And to make a profit in a business, how much work? Just to put up a business, how much work? For example, you think that if I become an engineer, I'll earn a lot of money, a doctor. How much of studies you have to do before that? And then you have to be registered, etc. Then you have to have your offices. Then you have to work to get clientele. All how much of effort. And then in that one contract, one consignment, one job you get, how lot effort you have to do. And yeah, just six simple things, and what great rewards. But unfortunately, our yaqeen is not there. And our direction, our niyat is not akhirat. Therefore, these things don't appeal to us. A person whose niyat is akhirat, dunya's work is very hard for that person. And deen's work is very easy for that person. And a person whose niyat is dunya, then dunya's work is very easy for him. All this hard work, very easy. And deen's work is very hard. To get up for fajr is almost impossible. To get up for tahajjud is out of the question. But if your niyat is deen, all deen's work become easy for you. Your niyat is akhirat. So these are, which are called, sitta a'mal li yawm al-jumu'ah. Six amals for the day of Jumu'ah. Then there are certain other amals which are for the day of Jumu'ah also. The one is that we should try and get up earlier than usual. It is sunnah. And even if we get up 1 minute earlier, our sawab we will have got. But really, try and wake up more earlier for Jumu'ah. There is a lot of ibadah to be done, as we will mention. So the reason of getting up earlier is to make more ibadah. The second is that we should try and visit the Qabristan on a Jumu'ah. Till today, Jews, what great emphasis they go on a Saturday. Christians will go on a Sunday. And we hardly go. If we go, we also go on a Sunday or any other day. We should try, where it's possible, to visit the Qabristan on a Friday. The rewards are so great if a person was disobedient to his parents. But he visits the qabr regularly on a Friday. Allah will write him down as an obedient son of his parents. So great rewards. Allah give us tawfiq. And then to read Surah Kahf on Friday, which starts about half of 15 Supara and about quarter of 16 it's to end. A person who will read Surah Kahf, and if we can't read the whole surah, the first and last 10 ayats. If we can't do that also, first or last 10 ayats. So easy. But don't just take the leeway. Try your best to read the whole surah. If it happens you cannot, then take the easy way out also. A person who will do that, the day when Allah will save that person from despondency. Allah will save that person from, what do you call it? Anxiety and depression, Allah will save that person from. And not only of this dunya, even the anxiety and depression of the day of Qiyamah. A person who just thinks of what that day will be, he'll sort of go out of his mind. But a person will, and it is not only this amal, there are many other amals in our deen by which you can be saved from depression and this pressure and tension. There is also one amal. Another amal for the day of Friday is to read Salatul Tasbih. It's written in the kitabs how to read it. And ulama have written there is an abridged form also. If sometimes you cannot, read the shorter form also. So try and read Salatul Tasbih, for which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, read it at least once in a year. A person who reads it, all his sins will be forgiven, major and minor, past and future, public and private. Ulama have said, for major sins, we should make tawbah. But the hadith says, all your sins will be forgiven. Try and read it daily, if not weekly, if not monthly, otherwise once a year, otherwise at least once in a lifetime, don't miss it. Read it at least once in a lifetime. Also, we should increase our durood sharif. Every day we should read salawat. For Jummah we should increase and try and read this durood which has come in the hadith. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi alfa marra. In 3 seconds you have sent 1 million duroods on Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam and his family also. And if you read it 1,000 times a million is a billion. So billion, and that is permanent. Immediately it's with you in this world, it will help you. On the day or at the time of Maut, Qabr, Qiyamah's day, it will help you. So we should try and do that. After Asr on a Friday, we should read the Durood. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin, Muhammadinin Nabiyil Ummi, wa ala alihi wa sallim taslima. 80 times. 80 years ibadat sawab is written for that person. 80 years gunas are made maaf for that person. So we should try and be regular with that also. And then duas we should try and make on a Friday. Two particular times between the two khutbas. When the imam is sitting, very little time there is. And quietly without moving the tongue. There are many things that we need duas for. Make your duas. And the other time between asr and maghrib. And especially the time close on to maghrib. Try and spend the time. Come earlier to the masjid. Or while walking to the masjid on a Friday, engage yourself in duas. And the duas are really what are called from the heart. Not the verbal that it helps to make the dua. But the real dua is what comes from that heart. That is dua. So we should try and engage in that also. Then on a Friday also, we should try and use Atar also. And read one of the surahs that starts with Sabbaha Yusabbihu, which are called Musabbihat. And the shortest of them is Sabbihisma Rabbikal A'la. Try and read that surah also. If you're an imam, try and read Surah Alif Lam Mim Sajda and Surah Dahar for Fajr, for Juma, Sabbihisma and Hal Ataka. And as far as our pubic hair is concerned, removing the unwanted hair on the body, etc., try, if possible, to do it before Juma. So that Juma, and this the ulama have written, so Juma's time, we usually do it in Juma time. But Juma's time is so valuable, to save you that valuable time, they say try and do it on Thursday, before Maghrib. So in that time you can do that. So that Juma, you only take your shower, you take your bath. So you don't waste time and you get engaged in ibadat which is required. May Allah give us tawfiq, appreciate the month of Ramadan, and this if we will observe every Friday, what great rewards won't we get? Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.